This is Bill Hendricks. I want to talk with you about some filters to faith. Your biblical resource passage is Esther, the fourth chapter. And of course that phrase that you would remember, who knows but that you were born to the kingdom for such a time as this. Does who you are and where you were born affect how you react and what you do? Sociologists say that it does very much. In fact, I wonder if any man is free from filters. I do not think so. The place where we were born, who our parents are, the kinds of concerns that we have as we grow up, these are all things that shape us very much. It has been said that there are several revolutions that have changed man's thinking in the past 300 years. One of them is the cosmological revolution. It was quite a discovery to ancient man to realize that the earth is not the center of the world. The old Ptolemaic system, which had put our earth as the center of the universe, was shattered by the discoveries of Copernicus. As a result, man felt that his planet, his earth, was no longer at the center of things. The second revolution was the Darwinian revolution. If man had lost his world in the cosmological revolution, at least he felt that he still was a special and particular kind of being. But with the rise of the Darwinian revolution, some men felt that mankind itself could be accounted for apart from an act of divine creation. This gave man a feeling of insecurity and insignificance. No longer was he the center of things. No longer was his world the center of the world. The third revolution was the Freudian revolution, or the revolution of the mind. In this revolution, man himself discovered that he does not always control even his own mind. It is this revolution that I would like to explore with you. Is it true that your heredity and your environment completely determine who you are? Certainly, these things are filters to faith. People receive even their insights about God according to their own temperament, according to their capacities for heredity. I'm sure you are aware that all men are not equal. Men should have equal opportunities, but it is not true that everyone has equal amounts of strength, dexterity, or talent. Therefore, how we come from the womb is important. The heredity of a man may very well determine what that man is going to be. Freud indicates that the way a man comes through his early childhood experiences and stages determines to a great degree what he will be like in adult life. That leads to the question of freedom and destiny. Is man really free today? In the 16th century, John Calvin said that man was totally determined by God, and that his own response was not significant. It has now been said by leaders of the Freudian school of thought that man is determined in his emotional makeup by his parents and his childhood, and he has no thing that he can do about it at some later date. B.F. Skinner, the social psychologist, has said that one's environment completely determines who a person is. All of these powerful voices have said that man's freedom is practically non-existent. Whether it be God who determines one's existence, as in Calvin, or one's parents, as in Freud, or one's environment, as in B.F. Skinner, there still is the great consensus that determination, rather than freedom, is man's destiny. In the Christian faith, the term that we use to break the bonds of fatalism and determinism is grace. Freely defined, grace might be understood as the possibility of making a choice given the help of God. Therefore, one becomes genuinely free, as Jesus said, when the Son makes you free. One of the largest problems today in the revolution of young people is the feeling that the world is closing in about them. There is the expression that ours is a world that is ugly and determined, and since we cannot accept it, we must strive to change it, even if it means its destruction. These are very distressing thoughts in the modern world, yet they're thoughts that occur to all of us at some time or another. There are filters to our faith. The way in which we grew up, the parents who guided us, the church in which we had our roots, the places we went to school. Each one of these has left a mark. Each one of these has produced a screen grid through which we take information and sort it according to our own categories. Machinery does not run well without filters. Your car has an air filter. When the air filter becomes clogged, the engine does not work well. I think it's significant to note that a great many times we become emotionally overborne when the filters through which we look at life have been clouded with things that we cannot admit emotionally. Another question arises, are these filters fixed? And here I must say yes to the extent that we have them. You cannot change essentially the way you look or who you are. Your acceptance of yourself is one of the first significant things that you will need to learn about the meaning of faith. This acceptance is made possible because God, in His grace, has accepted you. Much of life is spent striving to overcome who we are. This is wasted energy. Life itself should be spent in trying to affirm who we are. Change is possible. Reform is desirable, but it is impossible to strive to become like someone who is essentially different from ourselves. The Christian experience of the Holy Spirit is a significant point for us to remember here. For the Holy Spirit does not help us become like someone else. The Holy Spirit wants to help us become what we ourselves, in our best capacities, can be. We do have filters. And yet the filters can be changed. You remember those air conditioning filters in your car that channel the air in different directions? Often this is what many of us need to do in matters of faith. Quite often we have blown a stream of air in one direction until that direction has become numb with cold. In short, we're tired of doing the same things, of hearing the same things. It is correct that the gospel we proclaim and the truths of our faith as we understand them are essentially the same. It is good, cold, clear, helpful air. But often it needs redirection in life. The change of the filter is a very difficult and painful process. We sometimes need to move from a provincial perspective to a broader attitude. We sometimes need to look at the world through another man's eyes. Travel, reading, sympathy, involvement, all of these have their place in helping us to help other people. Now I think there is one additional thing that should be said. It is impossible radically to change the filter of your life without divine help. When you're discussing your faith with a person from a different faith or another world religion, I think you should need to know that his conversion to your faith, or even the possibility of your conversion to his, is not a human possibility. There's a real sense in which the power of the divine is required in order for any man to radically reorient his life. This both helps us and gives us an enormous sense of relief. There are some people who, in witnessing for their faith, strive to do it all themselves. They feel that their expressions must overbear the other person and convince him of the rightness of their position. It's important for you to realize that no amount of intellectual commitment, no amount of being overborne by logic can essentially change the filters of who a person is. And they cannot change the filters of faith without the help of God Himself. This is the importance of the drama of conversion in the New Testament, in those passages where the Holy Spirit helps people in an unusual way to understand what it means to respond to the gospel of Christ. Who are you? What are your filters? This is very important to know. Do you speak with a southern drawl? In the language of the biblical materials, sometimes your speech betrays you. Do you hold yourself away from other people because in childhood you were hurt by close friends? Is it possible that your openness to God is in proportion to your openness to your fellow men, to your friends, and to your loved ones? Can a man who claims that he does not need people really sense a need for God? These filters are significant in finding out who you are, how the air of the breath of God blows through the life that is yours. Many of us have filters that are much too numerous and too fine. Very little of the stream of air blows from the life that's ours because we are closely screened by what we will let out. Unfortunately, we are not sometimes so closely screened as to what we will take in. The question of freedom and destiny was great in the biblical story of Esther. It was her uncle's firm opinion, and he proved to be right, that she had come into the kingdom at just the right time. Even the time when you were born, the time in which you go to school at a particular place, and the time in which you arrive to job possibilities, all of these things are important considerations in your life. Who you are as a person, in some ways, has been determined. I hope that you will see one of the largest determinations in life, one of the grandest filters of direction, is placed by the faith that is yours, a faith which has become yours because you are conscious of the direction in which your life is set, and because you are quite confident of who you are. Having taken off all of those external things, you quite frankly acknowledge the bare skeleton of your existence, what it is, and how it can be used in the experiences of faith. And now, I have some questions for you. Have you ever imagined what it would be like to be born in a different place, or time, or circumstance? Can one man ever fully understand another? 2. If there is no commonality between men, how can we understand one another? How can there be such things as sympathy or community in the world? 3. What customs of your religion and your religious ethics are possibly socially conditioned? And by way of contrast, what part comes from the divine insights? In everyday life, do you tend to accentuate the cultural conditioned aspects of your religion, or do you tend to accentuate the major requirements as established by biblical authority? 4. What does the Christian faith have to say to one who feels that the circumstances of life are stacked against him? What does the meaning of grace in a Christian context have to say here? Do not try to escape the filters of faith. They're a part of life. They're a part of who you are. It's better not to resist who you are. Far better to discover, to enhance, and to bring to God those things which you have to contribute that are uniquely your own. There are filters to faith. If properly understood, they can keep out the things that are harmful, and they can let out the things that are best seen in your life that come from the grace and the goodness of God. Acknowledge the filters. They are there. Others can see them. And you can understand and help yourself best when you can see the filters that are yours.